And welcome to another edition of Leisure Activities with Jerry Coonan. And today I'm talking to Paddy Flanagan. Paddy.
Finnegan.
Oh, Finnegan.
Finnegan.
Ah, Janie. Paddy Finnegan. Paddy, before we start, I just said something there about me knowing nothing, and then you added something on. I said, I know nothing.
I said, we're all in that predicament. We'll be like Samuel Beckett. We'll write nothing with unbeatable style.
Rainy days in Dublin. It's a rainy day in Dublin. We're just in between showers, and me and Paddy Finnegan, originally from Galway. Paddy, you've been living in Dublin now for?
Over 40 years. I've been here since shortly after President Kennedy was assassinated. So that would be the end of 1963.
Roughly, Paddy, roughly, you know, without going into the all the meat and the bones and the skeletons and all that, roughly, why did you come to Dublin?
At that time, after the Leaving Cert, it would have been nearly impossible to get a job down in the country anyhow. So I went to England first and got a couple of years' work experience in the West Midlands of England. And after working a while on the buses over there and a bit of labour, I came back to Dublin, where I was after getting a job in the public libraries, the corporation libraries. So I stayed there for a couple of years and went into the mainstream civil service, worked as a tax officer for a few years. Turned out I didn't really like it, so I packed it in. And I went to university for a while and left without graduating. And I got a job as a bus conductor, which I held for 10 or 12 years until the 1980s. And then I had a period of unemployment, and I brought out a few poems in 1991 and began to get invited onto radio programs and stuff like that. And eventually television. I did a few programs with television, similar to what I'm doing now with yourself, Mr. Coonan. And since the big issues came on the scene, I've been making a few bob selling the big issues. I actually wrote a bit for it when it was out first. That's the sort of a leisurely, semi-retired life that I'm living now. Semi-retired. Of course, I'm over 60 years of age, so strenuous hard labour wouldn't suit me. Not that it ever did.
Very good.
If you could avoid it.
If you could avoid it. You said something good as well when we were talking about the rain. You said rain is all right when it knows to...
When to stop. Like an alcoholic.
Now, during the day, we'll say, before going back to poetry, etc., during the day then, would you spend, like, say, 8 hours a day selling the big issue?
Oh, no, maybe three hours on the average, or sometimes even less. You know, standing there all the time. Well, it would be tiresome. It would get, like, tiresome work after more than 3 or 4 hours. Like, you would tire a bit, like, standing there, like. But, 3 hours is quite sufficient and keeps me happy, and I make me a few bob. Day-to-day expenses, at the very least, food and drink, yeah, pays for all those things.
Mainly food?
Oh, well, food. I mean, there's food in the pint glass too, but it's not officially recognised as such.
It's nourishing though.
Very much so. It's not for nothing that the old lad still goes... Well, Beamish I drink now, but Beamish is good for you as well.
And come here, we'll say, when I was in sales, I was always trying to think of a better way to persuade somebody to buy something. And what will I say now this morning so that the customer, when they hear me on the phone or at the door, they'll say, God, that sounds interesting. Here's my money and I'll take it. Do you have any old sales pitch for your big issues?
No, I invented the concept of silent selling. I just stand there, take up a position of high visibility. That's of number one importance, high visibility. The farther away they can see you from, all the better. It gives them time to think whether they want to buy it or not. Yes, I'm probably the most successful seller of the big issues easily in the country, or in the world for that matter. I would certainly say so. And I consider that shouting or sales pitch, vocal selling is not worth a damn. It would turn people off, especially when you're competing with the internal combustion engine. It just doesn't make sense. And besides, there are enough lunatics and gobbaloons and alcoholics roaring and shouting and mithering people the way things are. So people have more respect for me when I keep me gobshut.
Oh, would you say, okay, high visibility. Would you say to yourself, and I'm not trying to be too smart with you, but would you say to yourself, now today I'll put on a tweed jacket because that looks, I look nice and serious in that?
Well, if I put on an expensive suit or a tweed jacket, the putative customers will say that bugger is rich enough the way he is. He can afford to have better clothes on him than me, so I'll give him nothing. I read their minds like that, and I'd say I'm right.
And we say you read their minds. Okay, there's people going, boy. Now I see you today. For example, today, okay, you weren't selling when I met you because you were waiting for me, waiting for Godot,
yeah,
and some Godot I am, and I'm a bit of a dog now. Never mind God. And I noticed you were just reading the paper there. On a normal day, though, when you are selling, do you be spying on the people as they're going by? Now spying and observing them as they pass by.
Well. Not really. I'm just fairly observant, I suppose. And I'd be wondering to myself if so-and-so might buy it. And, of course, people who recognise me and I recognise them, I've got a lot of regular customers who will always buy it from me. And some of them will give me tips as well, especially around Christmas. So it's worth a fortune to me in Christmas week if I exploit the hours and put in the bit of time. No shortage of dropsy. Dropsy, dropsy, dropsy.
That's a lovely word, isn't it?
It's not. Very expressive. It's very expressive, almost alliterative.
Yeah, almost onomatopoeic. It might even be onomatopoeic.
That's the word I'm looking for.
I was trying to explain that word the other night to a kid of about six, onomatopoeic. I was telling him, the word gloomy, gloom, suggests gloom. And I was saying to him, the word scary. Do you have any onomatopoeic words in your...
I have, yeah.
Poems. What are your poems normally about? I'm sure they're not about onomatopoeia. Without reading them there, we'd say, would there be a theme of love and death and war going through your poems?
Not so much. It's very, very miscellaneous. Very miscellaneous. Lyrics and ballads and the odd sonnet. Things like that.
And have you gone to classes like to improve your creative writing, so to speak?
Not at all, but I got a good education in that sense. A good Leaving Cert. I did first arts at university and second arts, and of course I always had a grow for English and Irish in particular, and of course I got a grounding in the classics, got a better mark in honours Greek in the Leaving than I did in Irish, and as you know yourself, I was no dough at Irish, so I'm well grounded in literature, possibly the most. But definitely the most educated and the most educated tramp that ever flogged a big issue.
And come here now, would you live in a, I don't know exactly where you live, but would you live in a Georgian house, the usual, with a couple of million under your mattress?
Well, I would if I had it, but I live in Dublin City Council accommodation in a good flat out beyond Kimmage, so I'm happy there.
And don't mind me saying so, you know, there's some people we'll say they walk and they train and they bus. I'm a walker. I love the old walking.
I love walking too. I'm a very good walker for my age. I could walk all the way out to where I live, which is about 3 good Irish miles anyhow. I'd walk it in an hour and a quarter, just over an hour. Yeah, I would.
Dublin must have. Come on, you've been here 40 years. Are you like myself? Are you? Now, I'm a bit negative about Dublin. I love Dublin, but I'm a little bit negative about how it's gone. It's too busy.
Yeah.
You can't even think because it's too busy.
I'm exactly the same. I liked it better from back in the 60s and 70s. Somehow, it has gone too bloody cosmopolitan for me. And of course, it's expensive and all that. But it's convenient for me, I suppose. But before I die, I suppose I'll go back to Galway, like for the last few years of my life, if God spares me.
And do you believe in God?
Kind of.
Yeah.
when I'm like Brendan Behan, a daylight atheist, when I'm sick or in the middle of the night, the devil when ill, the devil a saint will be. The devil when well, the devil a saint he'll be.
God, you like yourself, honest to God. When the chips are down, I'll pray. And
they reckon there's no, they reckon there are no atheists in foxholes. Isn't that right?
Nice and safe.
I heard that saying.
I didn't.
Yeah,
actually, I'm a dub.
You know, the war, the World War, the foxholes and the trenches and that. When you're sighting yourself with fear, you're not an atheist. You're praying. That's what they used to say. Yeah. No atheist in foxholes.
Gee, I suppose
and the
you're
bombs are going off all around you, and the grenades and everything.
Have you, talking about, God, it's a lovely, pleasant subject on a rainy day. Now, it's not raining on top of us now, but sure, we're lucky. We're in between showers. Without getting too kind of emotional, you're not afraid of dying and all that? No more than myself.
No, because it's inevitable. I mean, anyone that's afraid of dying is a complete fool and lacking in realism. And, you know, there's no point. You have to face up to the matter. You should devote a half an hour every day thinking exclusively of death, burial arrangements and God knows what. I wish I could take my own advice. I never give it a thought.
In moments of fantasy, I often tell my next of kin that I don't want an expensive funeral.
Yeah.
A funeral, and just, no, I'm serious, put me somewhere cheap because and spend the money on something more useful.
I absolutely agree. A plain wooden box for me, if it's good enough for the Pope, it's good enough for Paddy Finnegan. Too bloody good, maybe.
Now, this bus driving business, tell me a little, just a little bit about, because I heard that bus driving is one of the most stressful jobs in the world.
Well, I'm sure it's stressful, all right, but I never drove. I only worked as a conductor.
Collecting the few bob, the 2 shillings or the, what was the fares then?
Well, whatever, back in the 1970s, what was it? I mean, you'd go bloody well a long distance for 10 bob anyway, wouldn't you? You'd go miles and miles and miles. I suppose you'd go out in a scurry nearly for a half a crown that time.
Did you ever have any obstreperous customers on the bus?
Once or twice, but rarely enough, thank God. The city was more civilised then than it is now, and the young people were more mannerly. So I never had much difficulty with personnel, anyhow. I might have difficulty getting up for the early shift in the morning if I had a rake of pints the night before. But otherwise, I enjoyed it for the period I was in it. But you get kind of fed up of the same thing day after day. Like,
could I say to you that, like most self-employed people, you're better off? Do you get up every day saying, "Ah, Janie"? Now, genuinely, you can tell. I know you wouldn't tell me a lie. Do you get up every single day now saying, "Ah, I'm my own boss. What a great life"?
Well, actually, I do because I can choose precisely when to work or where to work. And how long to stay at it. There's no stress at all in it. No matter what job you have when you're working for a boss or a company, I mean, the clock, you have to be watching the clock all the fucking time, and you cannot just, if you want to lie in bed, at least you have to get up and go on the phone or some damn thing at a moment when you don't feel like getting up for 6 months. Yeah, it has every advantage. Working for yourself is the only thing. I'd say it adds 10 years to your life to be self-employed anyhow.
Right, the actual self-satisfaction almost.
It's a state of semi-retirement at all times. You're in a no-man's land between work and play.
And Paddy, now, you got to be careful here because there's thousands of people listening and I don't want you to be the subject of a tiger kidnapping for your money, but on a good week, like, would you take into your pocket, would you take in enough to live and eat, would you take in €100 a week?
Jeez, I would and more, yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, definitely, yes. Over 100 in an average week, yeah. And it keeps me in my day-to-day expenses. Like, whatever I eat, whatever I drink, it all comes out of that fund, the Finnegan Fund, the Big Issues Fund, the Rake of Lolly.
And I'm guessing now, Paddy, because in fairness, I'm a man, big family, all men and all that stuff. I'm guessing that most of your customers are men. Am I wrong?
It's about 50-50 now. The women are good too. They are indeed.
And do you get the impression that these women, and men read it, or do you think they're only glad to give you the few bob and take the magazine off you and then they don't read it?
Most of them do tell me that they read it, yeah. There's always at least one decent article in it anyhow. And at the moment, there's a series of pictures, images of Irish life, beautiful photographs of Irish scenery and all sorts. Around the country, you could put them in a frame. It's a double page in the middle. You could put them in the frame. You'd have a lovely picture, lovely coloured picture. Like, yeah, that's always good. For that alone, it's worth buying.
And it's only €3.
€3 is too much for it, really. Like, I'd prefer if it was only two, or 1.50 even. But I suppose the people are willing. Of course, we don't sell as much of them as when it came out first. When it came out first 12 years ago, like, I'd sell four times as much in a week. I sold up to 100 of them in a day that time. And to sell that many in a week now is practically impossible, never mind in a day.
Times have changed. And Paddy, I'm just thinking, you're probably, none of my business once again, you're probably living your own and all that stuff. Do you look, like, you know, how do you look after yourself? Like, say, if you get an old twitch, I'm in work and a fella be saying, I've an old sore back, I must go off to the old doctor. Would you be the same thing?
Well, I mean, you mean, how do I...
Do you look after yourself?
Cater for myself. Yeah. Well, you see, I don't actually cook much because I don't need to. I regularly dine in the Focus Ireland place in... Sister Stan's eating house, right. Up in Temple Bar, like, right. Get the best of grub there every day, best of dinner there every day for next to nothing, for a nominal fee, like, so, like, if I had to cook, I would cook, but I can eat without going to the trouble of going. I can eat for a very, very cheap price. So there's no point in shopping and bringing home rakes of food and bothering cooking. If ever the day comes when I'll have to do that, well then, so be it, and I'll be well able to do it. Years ago, when I was in another flat, I used to cook for myself because it suited me at that time. But it's better the way I am now. I'm getting everything without much effort.
And Paddy,
I'm easy to please anyhow. I'm easy to please, and I have a good constitution. I'm never sick. I haven't bothered my doctor for years and years. And I have no intention for quite a while yet.
Quite a while.
The old bones are okay. I'm still supple. I can walk 3 Irish miles in an hour. What more would I want?
What more would I want?
I haven't even got a bicycle yet. I don't need it.
Bike could be handy now, don't we? Although it's dangerous.
I will someday. I will get a bike. I'll go to the Garda station in Kevin Street and ask them when do they have the sale of bicycles. Yeah, I must ask them that.
Are you the type of fella now, and don't be bored, don't find this question hopefully too boring, are you the type of fella go home at night and turn on the old soaps?
The radio. I don't even have a television at the moment. I haven't had a television for years, because when I really want to watch it, I'll watch it in the pub, like. But and then again, since I'm out of doors so much, it would be pointless having a television. What I do like having is a radio. I'd be lost without a radio.
What would you listen to on the radio?
Roughly. Pat Kinney's shows in the morning, Tobriday and those, you know, and. Joe Duffy, sometimes Joe Duffy, the like of that, or the odd orchestral concert or traditional music or anything like that.
Is there anything now going on in the world, nothing too political, I mean, anything at all, be it the earth or the moon or the stars, that is really on your mind? Anything at all on your mind?
I'm worried about the dangers of another nuclear war or anything like that. The Middle East is in such a mess. Like, there's every danger of a conflagration which could nearly wipe out humanity, if you put it that way, and leave humanity in such a state that they'd be better off to die.
Would you go to the odd protest in Dublin, whatever it might be?
I used to be more into protest when I was younger. Like most people, you get kind of reconciled to what's going on and labored to the young generation.
Are you a bit that way? But you're not cynical.
I'm not cynical. It's just I kind of be bothered.
The old hormones. You're getting old. But no, if I say that to you now, you're getting old, you'd probably say, indeed or not.
Of course I'm getting old. So are you. The pot calling the kettle black, for Jesus' sake.
Did you ever put your foot in it? Or have an argument with anybody?
Oh yes, I suffered from foot and mouth disease before it was invented. And I did. I mean, like every young fella, when I was young, and I often got into scrapes when I was drunk. Sometimes wouldn't even remember how I got a black eye or anything, you know. Wouldn't even know I had it until I got up out of bed to shave. But such is life. You grow up. I suppose most of us mature a bit anyhow. When you're over 40, as George Orwell says, you've got the face that you bloody well deserve.
Come here. You've a CD in your hand. That's grand. But you also, just let me turn around here. Oh, I'm in Stephen's Green, by the way. There's Love and there's Sex and there's the 46A. But that's not your stuff, is it?
There's three poems by me in this collection. This book, it's essays and poems by busmen or ex-bus workers, in my case. It was brought out by... It was compiled by Matty Lennon, who is a bus inspector now, and I put three poems in it, two in Irish and one in English. So
that's... Do you have a short one there that you could even read out, if you don't mind?
I could do, yeah.
Yeah, take your time. And look what's marking one of the pages, a beer mat, am I right there?
Yes. Sometimes I do recite poetry in a pub called Grace's in Rathmines every Friday and Saturday night at the traditional music gigs, just a spot of poetry. Yeah. I think I'll give this one here in English by Patrick. It's a sort of a parody on Patrick Kavanagh's style of poetry. And we do commemorate him every year on the canal where his statue is on St. Patrick's Day. And this is what this is about. This is just imagining that Kavanagh sees us there from wherever he is, and he addresses us in his usual confused and cantankerous, sarcastic fashion. It's called Post from Parnassus, after Patrick Kavanagh. Here by my seat, the old ghosts meet. Here, the place where the old menagerie relentlessly soldiers on, remembering the old green dragon, me, on the feast of the Apostle of Ireland. Ye greeny graying catechumens will cease to stage this ceremony only on the command of Sergeant Death. Then break not the heart of poet past, nor that of preening poet present, but know, ye prodigies of prosody, that multitudes in times to be will listen to my lays and look askance, while cods forever fake their own importance.
Good man, and that was called, once again, what was the name of the poem?
Post from Parnassus, if you don't mind. Parnassus, fair from Parnassus, we were reared.
Absolutely, you were reared in Galway.
Yeah, Kilkerran, outside Tuam in County Galway.
And you'll go back there soon. You said you'll go back anyway when you're older.
Well, I'd say I will when I get old. Yeah.
Will there be people down there? Will there be a welcome down there for you?
I'm sure. I've a brother and plenty of relations and neighbours. It'll be the sensible thing to do if a man got the chance, not to die sudden, but to enjoy a few years of peaceful retirement at home. Yeah.
Do you ever get tired? Are you tired? Weary? No.
Not now. I had a good sleep last night, and I managed to get up this morning. I drank several pints last night.
In where?
But I had a good sleep.
Where would you drink the pints?
The Lark Inn in Mead Street. That's where I go most nights. Then at the weekend I go to Grace's in Rathmines for the traditional music gigs, where I regale them with a bit of poetry.
Jeez, you're after being hit by a dead leaf.
Well, it's only a dead leaf. And I said, let grief be a fall leaf at the darling of the leaf.
On Raglan Road. God, it's a lovely leaf, all the veins in it.
Isn't it? Just what Kavanagh was talking about.
That's amazing. That could be a sign now.
A sign from Kavanagh, from Parnassus again. He probably appreciated the poem.
Are you a chatterbox? To me now, you've been very good. We have to wrap it up soon. You've been very good to me. When you go out talking and drinking, are you a chatterbox?
Yeah, after a few pints, I'm a fairly articulate speaker, I suppose. But I'm not really a chatterbox.
No.
I'm not now. I was worse when I was young. I don't do that much talking in the pub. No, not that much. I might read a book or something. Read the paper, anyhow, the Irish Times, the letters pages, everything like that.
And then when you've something to say, you grab a piece of paper and you're off with your writing down?
Well, only an odd time. Only an odd time, like. I might do a bit of thinking in my head, but I seldom take notes or put stuff down on paper. Except when the muse does hit me, I'll write something down, yeah. I was thinking of what I might do now when I get the free travel. When I get the free travel in a little over a year's time, I could use it to really travel the country, and maybe write a book about my travels. The same as William Bulfin did 100 years ago, Rambles in Erin. Yeah, good idea.
In the comfort of a train?
In the comfort of a train or a bus, you know. Meet the people, the interesting people, and if there are such left, and towns and architecture, landscape. Yeah, along the lines of William Bulfin, Rambles in Erin. Like, it's just over 100 years since he brought out that book, and the contrast and the changes of the two of them, compare and contrast. I could make a few bob out of a book like that, you know, and to have someone to take photographs of the places, people, yeah.
And die rich.
And die rich and angry.
Paddy Finnegan, thanks very much.
A wealthy corpse is a miserable corpse. I bet, we're done now anyway.
We're done.
It's up to you to edit it, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Paddy.
How long will the programme be on for?